Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Redden. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite all-time cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, did you ever watch, I know this is way off topic here, but did you ever watch that show on ESPN? They used to do it. It was Mike and Mike in the Morning.
Yes.
Long time.
Goalish and, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's, yeah. That's not the name, but you were close enough.
Yeah.
But I say all that because, wildly successful, and I don't know if anybody remembered this or heard about this. You know, obviously I'm kind of in this media landscape deal, so that's this stuff interests me. But apparently those guys for like the last year or two, they didn't speak to each other. Like, I guess they hated each other. And then when it would fire up and they'd be like, oh, buddy, buddy. I just want everybody to know that's kind of how Shane and I were. Just
like, I literally, man, I was cutting it close. So we went up to my my oldest house and my wife made, you ever heard of ooey gooey cake? So Paula Deen's, that's like one of her deals is. And so she knows my daughter likes that. Well, I can't have any when my wife's making it. I don't know if your wife ever making something for church or whatever. You're just not allowed to have it. Right. Yeah. Not even a little bit, not even a sample. It's like a deviled egg. I'd lose my head if I grabbed a deviled egg, you know, after one was made. So that's what we did. We made this ooey gooey cake. So we go over there, you know, we're talking and I'm like, hey, I got to go. And she says, you got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. I was like, well, not if I plan on getting a slice of that cake before I get out here. So that's why I was late there. And so I rolled in at 7 o'clock and we're live action, baby.
Yeah. But I didn't think we were going from Mike and Mike to ooey gooey cake.
You never know where we're going to go, Mike.
Hey, shout out the legend, Shane. Just a heads up, he changes his username.
Legend. Oh, cousin okay. JR has done it again.
Give him a follow, JR Gaming Live.
Dang.
He fooled me earlier. I was like, who's this? But no, that's just JR.
So what's he gaming? What's he gaming these days?
I don't know. It looks like an NFL, probably. I really don't
know. Looks kind of spooky there, you know? So I don't know. Maybe
we game with JR one day.
Let's do it.
Before that, Shane, he gifted Ram Dog. Ram,
welcome to the family.
Hey, I don't know if you realize this, Shane.
Yeah.
And he never sees the titles. He don't even know what we're going to talk about.
I don't even know.
Shane, we got an amazing lineup here.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this till today. First time in SEC history, Saturday, 8 conference games.
Wow.
This has never been done, and it's not being done again this season. So the point being is the best Saturday that's ever existed in the Southeastern Conference. So you better soak it up. You know what?
Let me sponge that up one more time. Let me see it. Let me just see it. I mean, how do you pick, Mike? How do you? Now, I know you're so good. You're so good at watching multiple games and retaining, but yeah. I am not. I'm almost like a one game guy, maybe one in the background. How do you do this? How do you pick, man? There's so much action.
Well, I don't know. I can't help the cousins there. But what I can do is help them by previewing these games. You know what?
Let's do it.
All right. So let's start with game day. Big day.
Yeah.
Always down in Athens, Shane, when them dogs hosting a top team like they are in Ole Miss, who's actually number one in the SEC standings. I believe they're tied now with Bama, but still number one. Mm-hmm. And them dogs, you know, so it's very rare that Georgia's looking up in the standings at anybody in the Southeastern Conference, but that's the way it is here. These two have met. This is the third year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss whooped them last year. Georgia really whooped them the year before. So this is turning into a nice little series. We got Kiffin trolling Kirby's ass. We got Kirby clapping over here. Man, what a matchup this is. And
oh, yeah.
You know, on paper, you'd say, well, dogs at home, right? But the football's favor Ole Miss for what that's worth. But basically, I feel like this is a true coin toss type game. Wouldn't surprise me either way. If Ole Miss wins it, Georgia wins it. You know, I could see it going either way. How about you?
Mike, if you look up the definition pick 'em in the Webster Dictionary, you're going to get this Ole Miss Georgia game, because I think when I'm going into this one, Mike, you are correct. I don't know. I could sit here and I could preach why Ole Miss should win, or why that fat bastard down there in Athens should win. But I'm telling you right now, Mike, and I'm saying that jokingly, right? I'm a fat guy, and I'm talking about. Have you even played the video? I probably should have led with that. Have you played Kiffin's troll to Kirby Smart?
I have not, no.
Okay, so let me just kind of give that back. I probably shouldn't have said it without any background here. So Lane Kiffin basically trolled Kirby Smart, saying, not fat shaming, but basically saying he's probably not burning as many calories on the sidelines as he used to, based off the last time he saw him on TV. So that's why I say that. But I say all that to say this, Mike. This one could go either way, and you could tell me that Ole Miss is going to win, I'd believe you. You could tell me that Georgia's going to win, and I'd absolutely believe you.
Any concern, old Trinidad, last game, you know, he didn't look bad, but he didn't look, you know, like the guy we saw, I think, the first couple, certainly against LSU.
Yeah.
And he struggles to throw the football down the field. At least push it down the field, I should say. I mean, you got to think, going from Ferris State to now the big time. Again, I think he's got to prove himself after LSU. But that was a home game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different story. This is going into the damn buzzsaw that is Athens. If you ain't named Bama, you can't win down here in Athens. Trust me, we all know it. So any concern that this is the first time Trinidad can be facing an environment, I mean, literally, he's never faced anything like this in his life.
Yeah, I think this is the biggest, like, if you're looking for the lop side, and Trinidad's been playing great, right? But I'm gonna jump on over here to Georgia for a second, Mike. And you look at Tennessee, Bama, maybe not Auburn, but at least those two games, I feel like you could argue is some of the better quarterbacks in this league, right? Some of the more prolific quarterbacks in this league. One, they were successful. One, they almost weren't, you know? So I feel like when you're talking about this Ole Miss football team, this is going to be something that Trinidad, I don't think, is going to bring a new wrinkle that Kirby can't handle. And I feel like Trinidad, more importantly, will have the toughest face he's ever had this entire season.
Now, how about old Gunner going against his defense, Shane, where, hey, there are no slouches over there. Remember, they solved Garrett Nussmeier. They got after his ass, and you know, we all thought he was $1 million till he played this defense that, they had a good performance. I know the offense didn't, but the defense did last week. So, how many points is it going to take for Gunner and them dogs to come out ahead? Because I think that might be the key to the game, whichever offense gets a little bit hotter here.
Yeah, or at least the first few downs. You know what I'm saying? I was listening to Billy Napier talk about this in the Texas A&M matchup, and he was saying, you know, the problem that we had ultimately was we didn't get enough yards on first and second down. And I feel like if Trinidad's behind those chains, or if Gunner's behind those, and you make that Georgia Bulldog or, you know, Ole Miss Rebel one-dimensional, I feel like then you're going to have problems. And then we're going to credit the defense. So, yeah, I feel like it's not just a hot start, but just a hot start in each set of downs that you receive.
Because, I know they finished strong against Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything in that first half till the refs got involved. You know what I mean? So, again, I'm not saying Gunner's been solved or anything like that.
Yeah,
I thought Mike Bobo did a really good job dialing up some plays in the second half. There was even that, remember they, you and I were texting back and forth, they ran, what was it, like a reverse pass?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think it was Dylan Bell, there's a reason you don't ask these receivers to throw the football. I mean, it was a wide open touchdown, and it wasn't even close to being completed. But so Bobo was in his bag. I think Pete Golding, who I think is one of the best defensive coordinators in the conference, going up against Mike Bobo, who I think is at this point the most underrated offensive coordinator in the conference. I think that's a really good matchup and one that could decide this game.
Yeah. You know, you ever seen a chameleon? I've never seen anyone in real life, but I've always seen them in like cartoons, and they change colors, whatever they're at. And I feel like kind of that's what Georgia is this year. I feel like they play up to the competition, and they also play down. So I expect them to go toe-to-toe with Ole Miss. It's just, if this becomes a shootout, can Gunner keep up? You know, if this is a defensive stand, can we get that running game going? So I feel like that's kind of what we're going to be dealing with, is a little bit of a chess match between some of these coaches.
Do you see the chameleon after you eat that ooey gooey cake? That's the real question.
Yeah, it gets a little fuzzy, a little tunnel vision, you know? Heart rate gets up.
Hey, let me ask you. So if Georgia, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Is the winner guaranteed to make the SEC championship?
The winner guaranteed.
I mean, maybe not. You don't have to say, you know?
No, I would say one of them is. Ole Miss, the one you're on. I feel like Georgia, this is, it feels to me like a play-in game for them. They beat them, they're in. Georgia, I still feel like their schedule's tough. They've got some.
They got the loss to Bama, too.
Yeah, they got some landmines here. So, not saying that they can't. I'm just saying, is it a shoe-in? I told you, I got my life. My life is on the line for the Ole Miss Rebels right now. So, I'm going to be kind of silently pulling for them.
All right, same question.
Yes.
And it may be yes to both here. Does the winner make the playoff?
Yeah, I feel like that. Now that I could get behind, you know? SEC championship, going to be weird because I think there may be some one loss, maybe no loss SEC teams in there. So, but playoffs, I feel like you, yeah, absolutely. Great question, Mike. Great question. You got me.
All right. How about the third Saturday in October, Shane? Tennessee at Alabama. Shane, big time showdown here. Alabama favored at home here by 7.5 points. But, buddy, I mean, this is another one. Hell, Tennessee's, they haven't had success against Bama in a long, long time. And hell, the last three seasons beat them twice and were beating them at halftime the other one. And hell, I think they probably should have won that day too. But point being, Tennessee's had a lot of success against Bama. I know Bama's red hot, but they've also, you know, these conference games are and emotional games are racking up. Meanwhile, Tennessee is playing a little ugly, but still winning. You know, they're... Again, I'm not totally thrilled with that, but again, this when everybody and their mother is picking against Tennessee, they never seem to be as dangerous as those games. So, what's your thoughts, Tennessee, going on the road to old Tuscaloosa?
Oh, buddy, I'm worried about this one, and for me, it's like every time Tennessee gets a win, I second guess that win when that loser looks even worse against another team. You know, does that make sense? It's like, I love like the Syracuse game. Then when they started losing, you're like, maybe Syracuse wasn't that good. And then Georgia, oh my God, we went toe to toe Georgia Bulldogs and they lose to Bama. And you're like, well, what if they're not good? Mississippi State gets blown out by Texas A&M. Arkansas gets destroyed by Notre Dame. So that's where I'm at. And then naturally you're thinking, okay, we're going to go to Tuscaloosa, one of the toughest environments in the world, and expect to go toe-to-toe with Alabama that also has a battle-tested defense. But I'm not ruling it out. That's the crazy part because it's the big orange homer in me that I'm like, well, shit, yeah, we can do it. We just got to outscore them, right?
Yeah, you're being so negative, but I knew you were going to circle back there's still a chance.
Dude, I said there was a chance when Dooley was there, when Brute was there. I've always made chances.
Well, you know who thinks there's no chance, Shane?
I got a cigar up here waiting for this game. Who's that? Me and Steven up.
Boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Shout out Steven up. They gifted a membership to Snake. Snake, welcome
to the family. I think I owe him money.
And we had John Armstrong, too. John,
welcome to the family.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, hey, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I keep hearing this talk.
Uh-oh.
that Tennessee is going to need like 40 points to win this game,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense because the defense is struggling. Alabama's red hot. But could it be, Shane, that a lower scoring game perhaps favors Tennessee because they're able to run the ball? Of the two teams, they're much better at running the football.
Mm-hmm.
They're causing turnovers. I know this isn't quite hyperbole, but, you know, chewing up the clock a little bit, time of possession. I don't know. I don't know that I want to back it. If we're getting into a shootout here,
yeah,
I think the last quarterback I want to get in a shootout with in the Southeastern Conference right now is Ty Simpson. So, I don't know. But, you know, if you force some turnovers, you get to Ty Simpson. I think that's a path to Tennessee. And I'm not saying, like, 14-10. I'm saying, like, 28-27 or something like that. Like I think that's a path for Tennessee here.
Yeah, but I've seen Heupel try to keep the ball away from a few teams, and it's not turned out so well. I honestly almost feel like you got a little house money on this game. And as far as Tennessee, nobody's going to expect you to win this thing, right? You go down there and play loose, play fast. And I feel like when Josh Heupel was doing that, I mean, he did it in 22. He's kind of gotten away with it because we don't have the defense to kind of pair with it. I mean, you see, that's what I see, Mike. I see a slower Tennessee team so that we can steal some of these reps from the defense. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I don't think you'll have that luxury against Alabama. Like you said, Ty's playing out of his damn mind. They've got a well-balanced offense and defense, and the crowd's going to be all up in it. So why not just go out there and just put some points out and try to shut Tuscaloosa down for a little bit? You know, I feel like that is more a Tennessee cup of tea, is try to get up a couple scores. Not saying they're going to, but I feel like being very aggressive is exactly what Josh Heupel needs to do in this game.
Mm-hmm. And I certainly think the last two Alabama opponents, Vanderbilt and Missouri, mm-hmm. they got away from the running game.
Yep.
And that killed them. Now, Drink came out here today and said, well, that's because we didn't have the ball. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, that's nice. But if you were able to run it, maybe you would have possessed it a little bit more. So, that, mm-hmm. again, that's another – I know Tennessee's – they have – I don't know if you saw the graphic I put out, Shane, but they've got three of the top – I think it's seven receivers in the SEC are all Tennessee Vols, mm-hmm. Brazel, Matthews, and Staley. So, again, they have the weapons, perhaps, to go toe-to-toe, but asking Joey Aguilar to do that in Tuscaloosa seems like a tall task. I don't know. I think running the football, I think that'll be the key to this one.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to. Tennessee can't be one-dimensional. That no team really can in this conference anymore. It seems like you have to play that complementary football, and if you're not, you're the team that's usually playing from behind. So, yeah, you definitely got to get that running game going as well.
Mm-hmm. And then is there anything to Alabama, Shane? As much as we – you know, I don't think Vanderbilt will count here, but
mm-hmm.
even though I picked them to beat Georgia – hardly anybody did.
Yeah.
A lot of people were picking Missouri, including these two idiots. You know, it seemed like everybody was hopping on the Missouri bandwagon.
Uh-huh.
How does Alabama respond as a big-time favorite in one of these games? You know, it's same thing Florida State. Everybody picked Bama. Is there something where Bama need – like, well, I wonder if they were going to be getting the Kirby Smart treatment where – DeBoer's going to be telling them, no one's picking them. You know, you can't beat these balls, all that. Yeah, I wonder if they need that to fuel them for some reason.
Maybe. I mean, one thing that Alabama hasn't done in these wins is really trailed, you know, like big time, you know, where when I look at week one and even into last season, I felt like that's where Alabama kind of got weak. Was in those top moments, and they just never had it. That's why I've kind of leaned in toward the aggressive side, because if Tennessee can jump on them, you know, that's something Bama's not had to do. So, but that's, again, wishful thinking. You know, it's easy to say, hey, yeah, just go to Tuscaloosa and go up two scores. You know, that's not easy to do and probably not probable, but I feel like that, I don't know. In my opinion, I feel like that's what – needs to happen for Tennessee to have a chance. But more importantly, on the Bama side, just stick to what they're doing. You know, don't change anything. Don't overlook teams. I'm not saying they're going to look ahead to South Carolina here or anything like that. But, you know, there is that moment when you beat Georgia, you go up, you beat Mizzou, you know, Vanderbilt, all these top 25 teams, to feel like you've arrived. You ain't won shit yet. We're halfway through the season, and one more loss, and then you're teetering on the college football playoff exit. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be really careful. There's no opportunity to take your foot off the gas.
Hey, same question I asked.
Yeah.
With the other game. If Bama wins, or if Tennessee wins, how likely do they make the SEC championship?
If Tennessee wins, I would say 75% chance. If Bama wins, I'm still going to stick a 75. No, they don't have any. Probably about 85%. Maybe even 90.
SEC championship play-in game. Come on. No. Trying to hype up each one of these.
What about playoffs? I think that could be a different thing. If let's say Alabama lost this game, chances they make the playoffs. I mean, they have to win out, right?
I would still think pretty good.
Yeah. What are they in the AP right now?
Bama is number six.
Wow. Can Alabama be a 9-3 team that gets in? I'm not saying that.
No, because Florida State is fading fast.
Yeah.
It's a bad loss now.
Yeah, there for a little bit, you know. Too bad the season didn't end.
Shout out, Cousin Lou.
Hey, Cuz, what's up?
Hey, gifted Swamp Donkey.
Swamp, welcome to the family. Cool name.
Well, I know a couple Swamp Donkeys down here in Baton Rouge, Shane. Come on, they're from the Swamp. LSU on the road at Vanderbilt, Shane. And how about this? This is a stunner, Shane. Vanderbilt favored in this football game. How about this, Shane? I'm going to throw this at you. I threw this at Roush earlier.
Yeah.
Last time, hopefully you didn't catch this part. Last time LSU was favored, or excuse me, Vanderbilt was favored over LSU. Do you have any idea what year?
Last time Vanderbilt was no.
Can you take a wild guess?
1912.
You were pretty close. 1948.
Ah.
Isn't that insane?
Wrong war. Sorry.
And then how about this stat? How many games in a row? You probably have no clue. I'm just going to see if you can get close here. Okay. How many games has it been for Vanderbilt?
Mm-hmm.
Just conference games, just SEC. How many games in a row have they been an underdog until this game?
Underdog. SEC games.
Yes, just SEC.
How many SEC games? I would probably say 34.
51.
Oh, that's crazy.
And this is a top 10 LSU coming to town.
I'm just trying to think of their last year's schedule. Did they not have one game they were favored? Are you talking about ranked or just just general SEC?
Just conference games. No one respects Vanderbilt, Shane, but they do now, apparently.
Damn. And Coach Kelly. I'm sure he's taking it well down there.
Hey, will that do anything, though, for this matchup? Because, again, this is a huge game for LSU. You lose this one. I don't think you're doing anything of significance this year. Same deal for Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's got a difficult schedule, but this is a winnable game. Nussmeier's a little banged up. LSU doesn't have the offense going yet. You're playing at home. This is literally the first time you're getting respect in 51 conference games. You know, again, you're not going to be like down in the cellar again if you lose it. But the season starts to slip because everybody and their mother, Shane, will just be like, ugh. Mm-hmm. We're saving Shane from steps, and now that they're in the conference play, they can't beat anybody. You know what? So this is a massive, massive game.
And it's crazy because a lot of people see the box score of that Bama game. They don't know how close this one was. They don't know how it came down to a few mistakes from Pavia to get Alabama the opportunity to win that thing. Not saying that they wouldn't because of that, but it was a damn football game. And so seeing them as favorites at home against LSU, you want to talk about a signature win. You want to talk about Coach Lee being at the end of every list that, you know, when we talk about hiring a new coach, you know, this is massive for the brand. This is massive for all the steps that they put in to get to this point. So yeah, this is their Super Bowl, but it's like their championship game, right? I remember, and the only reason I say that, Mike, is when I think of these two teams playing, especially at home there in Nashville, I always go back to when they started serving alcohol, and LSU came up there, and Joey Burrow and company whooped some ass, and they ran out of beer. They ran out of alcohol while they were up there. And so that's what I'm thinking, and that's what every other SEC fan's probably thinking about this game. But if Pavia gets a win here, man, that would be huge.
If it's not the ooey-gooey cake, it's the alcohol with this guy. You know
what? I know. One way or the other.
Hey, you mentioned Pavia, though. I mean, how much is this game going to come down to how well he can navigate this defense? Vanderbilt's had 2 weeks to prepare, so a little bit of an advantage there. Again, LSU's coming off back-to-back conference. I know they had a bye week in between, but back-to-back conference games. How much is it going to come down to Diego navigating this outstanding LSU defense?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like every time we talk about Vanderbilt, it comes down to Pavia, right? But you're going to need something else. I feel like it's going to be Vanderbilt's defense making some mistakes on that side of the football, you know? So I'm going more of the Garrett Nussmeier Vanderbilt defense as the ultimate reason. Because if the defense can get them off the football field and give Pavia an opportunity to steal possession, steal time of possession, you know, I feel like that is going to be the ultimate storyline here, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Would it surprise you if Vanderbilt won?
They're favorites. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah. It's just wild to think, isn't it?
But saying it out loud, you know, feels like you need a cigarette, you know? It's like, can't believe I'm saying that. Marlar's down there for 1 year, and now they're underdogs to Vanderbilt.
All right, how about this one, Shane? Mizzou on the road at Auburn, Shane. Auburn opened as the favorite.
Uh-huh.
It has swung completely. Missouri's now the favorite, just by 1.5, though. But night game, Jordan-Hare Stadium. And, man, things are bleak right now in Auburn. For anybody that hasn't seen the news, one of their senior captains, Damari Alston, left the team or kicked off the team. You know, it's kind of unclear. Hugh Freeze says he didn't live up to the standards of being a player down there in Auburn. And the story is he wasn't being utilized. So he said, well, if you ain't going to play me, I'd like the red shirt. At least that's what I've heard. So, and then in the aftermath, Shane, seemingly every single one of his teammates has got his back, not Coach Freeze, but Damari Alston's back. And interesting, that's when the line flipped. For whatever that's worth, I don't know. But and then you got, there's a clip of Missouri players asked about, you know, what do they think of Jackson Arnold and this offense? I mean, they literally have to stop from laughing. And he said, yeah. Well, Jackson Arnold's 6'2", 240 pounds. I mean, he's a football player. You know, like, I don't know. It seems like there's one team that here's how it's going to break down to me, Shane. Auburn wins close, or Missouri whoops their ass. Like, I think those are the only two options on the table here. Am I wrong?
Nope, you are correct. Did you call it? I've seen it in the comments. Did you call it Jordan?
Jordan. You got a Jordan.
Jordan. Yeah. I got you. No, I feel like the thing is when your team leader, your team captain. This isn't just, you know, a place kicker. You know, this is a guy that is leading that locker room that most likely the players put in place. If he's quitting, then I'm worried, man, because this day and age, football's different than it was 20 years ago. Like, you went to Auburn because you liked Auburn. Yeah, you probably got, you know, couple of bags of money or whatever. I mean, all the teams were playing that game, but at the end of the day, most people that were on that roster was there because they loved Auburn Tigers. And I feel like the give up these days is bigger than it's ever been, Mike. And we've not seen it because we've got, you know, two games before you're knocked out of the playoffs, but we're starting to get into it. And now you're getting, and I'm not, again, I'm not pinpointing Auburn here. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it is alarming to me when you see news like that and you wonder to yourself, is there give up in this football team? Because I've seen it in other places. I saw it in Arkansas. There was give up in that Notre Dame game. But then they got rejuvenized with Bobby P. They go to Knoxville, and that football team, if they would have played like they did in Knoxville against Notre Dame, Lord knows what would have happened, right? And I just, I that's what I'm starting to see, you know, the more years that we play this NIL game.
Right, but, I mean, maybe it was just a half against a really good team, Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't want to say Auburn gave up in the second half, but it seemed to me like they came out with a plan. They were executing the plan. One thing went sideways, and then they just went in the tank.
Yeah.
Now, is that the start of the rest of the year? Or is it just, you know, we were just playing a really good team. We couldn't do shit with it. You know, I don't know, but I'm fearful for what the results could be at Auburn.
Yeah. But then they, I mean, classic Hugh Freeze, right? Just when he's out, you're like, oh, shit, we can't fire him now. You know, he beat Mizzou. So I don't
even think that's a win. Like, their fans are like, let's crown him, you know?
Now, I know, but it wouldn't blow your mind if Auburn does win this game, would it?
We're getting close to that
territory.
Okay. You know what I mean?
All right, yeah, it wouldn't blow my mind. I'm sorry.
So this is the same thing we've been doing with Florida.
Yeah.
Do you think Auburn fans want to win this game?
Yeah,
that's where I'm at.
I think so. I still think so. And I don't know. I think Auburn pairs well with Mizzou. You know, I feel like that rushing defense, probably the best in the country, and they're going against a Mizzou team that likes to run the football. And we saw last week what happens when you don't run the football and you let Bo try to win this thing. The recipe's out there to beat Mizzou, and I feel like that could be harnessed and used. And the fact that it's down there, you know, on the plains, I feel like, this could be a game to get back on track. So, yeah, I'm not out on them yet, and I don't think Auburn fans are. I think they're hanging on, but one more loss, they're done.
Okay. You know? What about for Mizzou? If they drop it, where's this season going?
I'm panicking if you lose this one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because this is your first road game, right? So that's going to be a factor. And there's could be a natural hangover from the Alabama loss. But if they're losing to Auburn, how are they getting past Vanderbilt? How are they getting past Texas A&M? How are they getting past Oklahoma? Hell, Arkansas, if they're playing the way they did it. And I'm not seeing it. This is the best time to beat Auburn, and if you don't do it, then I worry about the future beyond them.
Big game.
Big game. Big. Swing. That's why they call it the swing game. No, nobody's calling it that, but they should.
How about this swing game, Shane? A&M at Arkansas. First time in a long while since Texas A&M had to visit old Fayetteville. It used to be old Playton Jerry's World down there. And our buddy Nick Roush already on record, Shane. He predicted it this morning. Them hogs is pulling the upset. Buddy, the way they played the other day. And hey, I just did an Arkansas show recently. I said, what the hell? Why can't we win a one-score game? And, you know, you think about it, Ole Miss, fumble at the end. Mm-hmm. Memphis, fumble at the end. Tennessee, four fumbles, lost three of them.
Yeah.
You know, if they just don't drop a damn football, they could be 6-1 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're elite or anything. Or excuse me, it would be 5-1. But, you know, they're a ways off of that. But I think they're much better than their 2-4 record indicates. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm right there with you because I saw, like I said, a rejuvenated Arkansas football team. Now, obviously, what does that look like now that you've got a loss? I think they'll be, I mean, naturally, you're going to have a little regression, I would imagine, but I don't know. Bobby B still feels like he can win this job, and I feel like the players felt like they could win the game. And if you feel like you could go to Knoxville and beat Tennessee Vols, I don't see why you don't think you can't beat Texas A&M at home. So this is going to be a sneaky good game, brother. Not a lot of people are talking about this one, but Arkansas is dangerous, and you are correct. If it weren't for one possession, we'd be we'd probably still have Sam and one loss Arkansas right now.
As a top 15 team in the country. and now this is the first road game for the Aggies in conference play. I know they went up to Notre Dame and beat them, but you know, this is that tricky three-game road slate that begins for the Aggies. It's always easier to play at home, Shane.
Yeah.
Do they, any, you know, what are the odds that they struggle here going on the road for the first time in the conference?
I'd probably say lower than most because Aggies actually have a defense, you know. So I don't think they're going to let Taylen Green just run around and do whatever he wants. And, you know, I do feel like Texas A&M defense pairs well against what Arkansas loves to do. But it's easy to say on paper, right? It's easy to look back at a few games and compare and say, yeah, this one's figured out, you know? I feel like Arkansas is just looking for something to give their fans, and this may be the game. Especially, who did we talk to? I want to talk, maybe it's Ty or something, and he absolutely hated that the fact this game was down there in Jerry's World. You know, you have an opportunity. You got a home game now. Take advantage of that and give the fans something, because you get a win. I'm not saying they put a statue out of Bobby P, but they'll be – you better believe Sunday's show will be loaded with Hog fans wanting to tell you Bobby P's back, baby.
If they beat A&M in Fayetteville,
yeah.
Do they ever play in Jerry World again?
Never. Never.
That's another reason I think it's big, because this is the first time you're getting them up here in I think maybe only one other time, but I don't know. And again, this is a series that has been completely one-sided. I don't know, Shane. There's weird mojo here for some reason.
Yeah, there really is. And there's always weird on this game, you know? It was like some weird juju, you know what I'm saying? They say it was in Jerry's World because of that. It was like, but I don't know. Every time these two teams play, something crazy always happens in it. So I'm not expecting anything different in this one.
Yeah, neither is Aggie Land 79.
Oh, welcome to the family.
Forget everything I said. Aggies are winning it, you know.
Oh, yeah. We got to throw something out for them Arkansas fans, right? Basketball ain't quite in the swing of things yet.
All right, how about this one, Shane? Again, man, so many great games here.
Yeah.
Only the second meeting, though, all time. Oklahoma, Shane, coming off their first loss at South Carolina, Shane. Both these teams desperately need a win. Oklahoma to get some momentum as it really heats up in the back half. Carolina coming off a rough one here. But, hey, Beamer tell you, we were 3-3 last year. We got red hot. You can't get red hot unless you win the first one, Shane. And Lenore Sellers, you know, he's playing better. I think he'll be key to this game, obviously. We got to get some help around him. But, hell, if Oklahoma can't run the football, I don't know how they're winning on the road in this conference. What's your thoughts?
This could be a good one. This is an Oklahoma team that is hurt, right? Got the feelings hurt. Venables talked about this one with the Big 12, you know. It's not like the old days when we could just go out here and – you know, beat the hell out of all teams except for one or two. He goes, this is every given Saturday. And I feel like this is a perfect team to overlook. South Carolina, right? You think you're going to win. But if we were talking in the offseason last year, you thought you're going to beat South Carolina last year. And then they just ran y'all out of the damn building. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
This is a Shane Beamer, brother. That football team is dying for something, for a little. They're like Arkansas times 10, in my opinion. they had moments in the LSU game, right? They had moments in the Mizzou game, and they're pissed. They cannot believe that they're this bad right now, and I don't want to lose them. I really don't want to lose them, Gamecock fans, but I feel like if we have another loss, they're gone. They are absolutely gone.
Yeah, yeah, that's tough. And Oklahoma fans could be right behind them if they lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but do you think there's just that? Are you worried about a hangover? Just because we've been talking about the Red River, and we'll talk about the Red River until Friday. Do you feel like there's going to be some of that, or do you feel like this is a football club that can wash away that game and just kind of start over a new season?
Yeah, I'm confident they can.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just Tech. Again, it was the same thing we said all last week. You know, Texas backs against the wall. Defense played an incredible game, I thought. But if Oklahoma doesn't get off the mat.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we really saw how one, I don't even know if one-dimensional is the word, because John Mateer he's kind of a dual threat, but just how much of the offense is centered around John Mateer.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't deliver, we got nothing on offense. And that's just not good enough. Even going on the road to Carolina, you know, if he does another performance, you know, if they score 6 points again, yeah, they're going to lose. Hell, if they can't get to 14, they'll lose. And that's not a high bar. You know what I mean? But
right.
I think South Carolina will manufacture, as good as Oklahoma is on the defensive side of the football, Carolina will manufacture something. Sellers got a big player or two in them. They're going to do some damn Beamer ball craziness, fake a punt, fake a field goal, do something. They'll get some momentum going down there, no doubt. So, yeah, I mean, I'm fairly confident in Oklahoma, but that – once that ball gets rolling, it's hard to stop when it's coming down the hill at you, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, coming into this season, this is one of those dogfights we were looking forward to because of the quarterbacks. Do you feel like we watch this game and it be a classic Mateer versus Sellers type situation?
No, because I still think John Mateer is not 100%.
Okay. Yeah.
And Sellers is constantly running for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be running for his life in this one, too, I would imagine, with his offensive line and the Oklahoma front. Hey, shout out. I don't think I read this one to you. I read it to Marler the other day. Yeah. Sellers against LSU,
mm-hmm,
19 rushing yards on 22 carries. Have you seen the stat from Cole Kublik?
Mm-mm.
How many yards, total distance in yards traveled, Sellers had against LSU? Can you take a wild guess?
No. 35? I have no idea.
894 yards.
Wait, what was the question again? Total?
He rushed for 19 yards.
Yeah.
But the total travel distance he had to run to get you 19 yards, he had to run 894 yards.
Jesus.
How's that even possible? I don't know, but that's shout out Cole Kublik with that statistic. But basically the point being is Sellers running for his life,
yeah,
and breaking tackles, going sideline to sideline to get a yard here, a yard there. And, I mean, it's going to be much the same, I would imagine, against Oklahoma's front.
Let me ask you this, though. On the Mateer side, is this the toughest environment he's had to go in since he's been in this conference?
What about Temple? Yeah, I mean, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Did you think that's a factor? I'm just trying to help him out a little bit, Mike.
No, I'm just laughing because I'm thinking, how many years would it take you to run 894 yards.
Oh, man. It'd take a while. Run, yeah. I only ran like 15 yards to get away from Yellow Jacket, so I have to do that a lot more. So, no, my running days are over.
Hey, shout out Go Rebs. He says, which comes first? Pastor Hugh admits he's the problem, or Kirby admits he was clapping?
Go Rebs!
What happened? Probably Kirby admits he's clapping.
Probably Kirby, yeah. I mean, he did get caught on tape, and his mom's like, can you believe it?
And shout out Hall of Fame College Football. I was in the Cotton Bowl last weekend, and the Sooners offense did not give me the warm and fuzzies about winning night games. The D can't win it alone. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I absolutely get it. And I feel like, you know, this one right here, probably not, again, similar to some of the other games we talked about, not at the top of the list of, but it may be one of those that we turn to when there's 3 minutes left and we can't believe South Carolina's still up. You know, I could see that scenario as well.
Yeah. I mean, this very well could be the best game of the day. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah. Then it could be the worst, right? I mean, it could be pretty bad. It could be like 6-3.
How about this one, Shane?
Yeah.
Mississippi State at Florida. Billy Napier and the boys trying to get some momentum, Shane. They had it for a hot second, then they let it slip right through their fingers in College Station. Meanwhile, Mississippi State, 2 weeks to prepare. They desperately needed the rest. Yeah. This is a real opportunity. If they can go on the road, never easy in the swamp. Just ask Texas how easy it is to win in the swamp. But it's never easy to go down here. But if they can do it, Shane, get to 5-2, I would think it's a lock that they're going to go to a bowl game. And it may very well be if they don't win this one, they may not go to a bowl game. So there's a lot on the line here for the Dogs. How motivated is Florida? And DJ Lagway, I don't know, but this is a sneaky good game, I think.
Yeah, but it ought to be a sneaky, scary game for old Billy Napier. Billy's not going to get fired, I don't think, midseason unless he loses one or two games. This is one of them, right? This is one of them for sure. You lose right before the bye week. Adios, amigo. I feel like that's where we're kind of at. But on the other side, you know, Libby has had some ups and downs, right? Last year, you think about just the struggle through the Southeastern Conference. You're thinking about this season. Were they 4.5 or something like that to start the season? No, there was no SEC wins expected, and up to this point, we've not received. So yes, we're getting close. We're getting better, but we've got to break through. And I feel like if you're a Mississippi State fan, this is the one. This is the one I've had circled, right? Ever since you stole my coach, you know, I've not liked the Florida Gators. So I feel like that's what's going to happen here. So this is a good one. This is their big game. This is Levy's shot right here. But more importantly, on the Florida side, you lose it, you're out. This is the final game for Billy Napier.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen any of this? Hell, I don't even know 100% if it's after drink calling out all the media. I'm kind of concerned to throw this stuff out there, Shane, but yeah. I've heard it from many people, so I mean I think it's accurate information. But old Jeff Lebby, you know what he was doing during the bye week? Apparently trying to get another job. So
shit.
I mean, surely that's gotten back to the Mississippi State locker room.
Where was he trying to go?
I mean, there's only a couple jobs open, so
I know.
I don't honestly know, but you know, this is a big opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he can win in the swamp, he can sit here and say, "I could do what Sarkisian can't do with all of God's money and year five, whatever he's in. I'm in year two at State. We just did it. You know what I mean? So he's auditioning himself apparently for a bigger job. Does that play any factor in a game like this where maybe his players found out and they're like, you know what, tell with this bastard, you know what,
Mark Stoops this thing, like, if I had your resources. I mean most of this is business decision, so I don't think I mean, the kids are probably like, "Hell, shit, if it doesn't work, I'll just go somewhere else next year," you know? Yeah. So most of them are transfer kids anyway. So, yeah, I don't know if that would be a huge factor, but I could see where Lebby winning would be, you know? Like, I want this job. Look how much breathing room Billy Napier got beating Texas. You know what I'm saying? It's just when you get a big win against a team that you weren't supposed to, it just buys you so much more. And that's what Levy's looking for right now is credibility. You know, he wants to buy a house, but he ain't got the credit. You know, he ain't been on the job long enough. So the bank's like, "Hey, stick around, you know, or get a couple of big deposits." And a deposit could be going down here and whooping up on them Florida Gators, being the team that got Billy Napier fired. You know, everybody will be talking about you and Mississippi State after this.
Right. And then how much, and we've talked about this, Shane, where Mississippi State doesn't have the overall talent, the overall depth of most of these teams. So that is another reason getting the bye, you know, by late November, this could be I hope it's not, but it could be a decimated football team, right?
Yes.
So if you're going to get a conference win or two, I feel like you're probably going to need, and unfortunately they're both on the road, but Florida and Arkansas,
yep,
your most likely targets here. So if you don't get Florida, you know, again, the season's not over, but that dream is kind of dwindling. Meanwhile, Florida is coming off LSU, Miami, Texas A&M. I mean, this is a battered team. Is there anything in terms of just the wear and tear that it's an edge to Mississippi State, you think?
Well, I think, like you said, that bye week couldn't come at a better time for Mississippi State. They've been going nonstop. And now you've got a banged up DJ Lagway, which he has been all season long. But, you know, even Billy talks about them having to be a little bit more one dimensional because DJ doesn't have the mobility like he used to. So, yeah, I feel like check mark for Mississippi State. So there's a couple of things that are leaning their way, but, you know, let's not act like Florida Gators didn't go toe-to-toe with Texas A&M, you know, or they didn't. I mean, these games that they lost, that's what's crazy is you look at Texas, everybody talks about the Texas win, but close with Texas A&M, close with Miami, close with LSU. I mean, definitely USF. I mean, right? Mm-hmm. So there are some close wins, and there was a lot of stupid mistakes made early in the season. But you could easily convince me that Florida is, you know, 4-2, 5-1 at this point. That wouldn't blow my mind. You know, they should have beat USF. They should have. Honestly, that Miami game kind of – the score doesn't do it justice, but that was a tight football game for a long time, Mike. So – I don't know. Maybe I'm giving Billy, maybe he's just all that propaganda he's been feeding me, like this team's about to pop. Maybe that's just where I'm at. But I do see talent. That's the crazy thing. I look at Florida's like defense. You know, I don't know how many times I got to look at Sapp's legs, you know. Them shorts get shorter every week. I'm like, this guy's a monster, you know. And then you go to the other side, and you're like, another receiver just takes off. They've got talent. They just haven't put it all together, you know.
One of my favorite things this year has been you being completely out on Florida.
Yeah.
And Billy, their dog crap, and it's a house of cards, and once it starts to wobble, it's all coming down. Uh-huh. And you nailed that. And then you coming around and be like, "This is a hell of a team. We're gonna beat Texas," and you predicted it. I mean, how does that happen? I don't understand it.
They just need time, man. Billy just needs time. One more year, and they'll be ready.
And you know who's ready now, Shane? Rolls Royce.
Come on, cuz.
Good evening. Hope everyone's having a great afternoon. Halfway through the season, guys. Soak it in while we can.
You bite your tongue, Rolls Royce. But he's right. He is right. We are there, and that's why you got to enjoy it. You got us. We're sitting here coming into a weekend with all the teams playing just south. I mean, this is football right here. This is the best of the best, and it's locked and loaded, and it won't be long. 6 weeks, 7 weeks from now, we'll be like, man, what time was that Army-Navy game come on, you know?
All right, final one here, Shane. Mighty Texas going on the road up to the Bluegrass. Kentucky. At least Kentucky had a bye week, so They got that going for them. But Texas starting to figure stuff out on the offensive side of the football. Mm-hmm. Defense looks as good as ever. Good news, Shane. Apparently, Mark Stoops might be leaving for Virginia Tech. That's all I got. I don't know what. I don't know other good thing to say here.
Oh, really?
That's a rumor.
Well, I mean, the job just opened up, right? I don't think Kentucky fans are mad, right? So, watch him win. Watch him play the best damn football they've ever had. So, I really don't know, man. I don't know about this game. I do go round and round, you know, because it's been it's been 2 weeks since we've seen Kentucky, and there was moments in that Georgia game that even though it wasn't as exciting as people would want, there was moments that I saw youth starting to prevail, right? I saw little flashes of on the offensive side, which was like, man, where was this 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago? So I'm not saying that they hit it right now because Kentucky's got a rough schedule up ahead of them, but man, you talk about could you talk about this, the craziest thing ever? I mean, it'd be wilder than Ole Miss losing to them last year. Texas, they're back, right? Oh, my gosh, we're back. After losing to Florida, we got the Red River on us. Arch Manning's back, and then you lose to Mark Stoops, a guy that we are begging to fire, and he's already out here interviewing somewhere else? Oh, brother, talk about leading the headlines, man.
Oh, man, that would be hilarious. Dane, a Kentucky upset of Texas would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. That would be the fun. That would be so 2025, as my kid would say.
You know what we need? I don't know where he's been this year. Who was it? Cousin Danny, I think was his name, where he was doing the Florida State Red Solo Cup. Remember that? Where he's like,
yeah,
if I'll eat a dog poo if Kentucky beats Ole Miss. He did it like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and he was right every time.
I think he disappeared when he was wrong. You know, he's probably still in here. He's just got a new handle. You know, maybe the moon here. You know.
All right. Well, hey. So here's the slate one more time. Anything else that you wanted to hit on before we wrap this one up?
No, it's looking good. Don't forget tomorrow's mailbag. So official cousins get their questions answered. So if you're green over there in the message box, that means you are allowed to participate. So all the best questions will get asked and answered, and I look forward to it. One of my favorite times of the week. Oh, speaking of favorites, JP, my favorite nephew. JP coming through with today's shout outs goes to Cousin JR, Texas Traveler, Steven Up, Cousin Lou, Derek Henry, Freedom Van, Tolga, Go Reb JD, Hall of Fame College Football, Team F, Rolls Royce, and Dane M. You are all the legends today. Appreciate you all. Appreciate you, JP. Appreciate all the cousins hanging out. It has been absolutely, absolutely fun, and look forward to seeing y'all tomorrow.
JP says, hell, I'm older than you, Shane.
Yay. I was trying to help you out here, man. You know what I'm saying?
All right, buddy. Well, hey, that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. Like, subscribe, share. It doesn't cost you a thing. Really helps us out. But that's all I got on this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.